No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. For the second time today with Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets, the end of their seven-game point streak, dropping a 3-2 decision to the Calgary Flames tonight. Gentlemen, good to see you both again. Hope you had a very pleasant rest of your Saturday. Yes, good evening. Nice to be back with both of you to discuss tonight's defeat of the Jets by the Flames, a game that we talked about earlier. The Flames needed to be more desperate, and you really did, I think, see that desperation, particularly in the third period of tonight's contest.
Yeah, they absolutely shut it down. And, you know, that's been a staple of Daryl Sutter teams, you know, going back to the 2004 Flames, right? Mm-hmm. So give them credit. But, you know, they hung on for dear life, boys. Like, you know, they might have snapped their seven-game winning streak, but that wasn't like a resounding win. Like, the Jets were pressing there. And I thought the second period, like, obviously, you know, Trevor Lewis's goal is a backbreaker, the quote-unquote TSN turning point. I don't know why I put that in quotes, to be honest with you. I probably could have just said TSN turning point. But it's 3 minutes till midnight, so that might factor in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, look, they get the opening goal from Elias Lindholm, right? Like, just Adam Rozichka puts the puck on net, kind of, you know, not exactly a highlight reel goal, right, boys? But I think that, you know, when you consider this game and how desperate the Flames were, look, I really liked, you know, a lot of the Jets game. Nobody seemed to want to score in the power play, by the way, but you know, it was one of those games where
or get a shot on the power play.
Well, yeah, it was bizarre, right? Like, all the good chances were at 5-on-5. And, you know, I think we'd all agree, like, you know, there were parts of the game where the Jets controlled. It was very back and forth. Really liked Pierre-Luc Dubois' goal. Obviously, I liked his game. Loved Josh Morrissey's game. You know, I didn't really have any issues with anybody particular. Like, this wasn't really, like, a game where you could point to. I mean, the penalty kill, obviously, you know, was huge for the Jets tonight. And the shorthanded goal by Trevor Lewis, of all guys, right? It has to be Trevor Lewis, the ex-Jet, even though he's more well-known for playing for the Kings and winning the Cups there. But this wasn't a game where you would necessarily pick apart any, you know, one area of the game. I mean, Calgary, the difference was the shorthanded goal. It was a very even game, and you give the Flames credit. But I thought, considering the Jets had all of that time off, we talked about that. There was a lot of time off between their last game, Tuesday, and for the most part, you know, I thought that they settled in the first period. They got better as it went on. And the second period, I thought, was their best. I have to check the analytics to see if that matched up with that. But, yeah, I mean, Hellebuck was good. I don't think you're going to fault him on any of the goals, right? So, look, at the Flames were more desperate, and that one shorthanded goal was really the difference.
Well, you know, Dave, I think it's very apropos that there's the three of us here today, meaning there's an odd number of us doing this post-game show, because this game really came down to odd man rushes. And that is where the Jets just gave up way too many odd man rushes. I think it was either five or six by the time the game concluded. And the Flames obviously capitalized on some of those opportunities, largely resulting in the 3-2 victory. You know, I mean, look, it was a 3-2 game. It was a one-goal game. It could have gone either way. But the Jets, I don't think, really will say that they liked a lot of their game. Maybe the second period they thought that was okay, but they started slow. The first period they got a little bit better as the first period went on. But that third period was really a masterclass in holding a lead and maintaining a lead. The Jets pushed, of course, and they tried to get back into it, but they really weren't able to do so. And it was just too many mistakes by the Winnipeg Jets, you know, in my analysis of how this game really concludes. Just too many mistakes throughout the course of the game, a little bit too sloppy at times. They had their chances, obviously. They weren't able to capitalize on it. You know, the special teams weren't very special, but the Flames took advantage of the opportunities that were given to them. Yes, my boy Mitch, or your boy Mitch, or whomever boy Mitch, attention to detail very much played a factor in tonight's game, Dave.
Well, Jay Miller wants to tank for Bedard, but I don't think that they're going to. The closest I think that Winnipeg is going to come to Connor Bedard is when he comes to with the Regina Pats on Thursday and Saturday of this week to play against the Winnipeg Ice, who, by the way, they beat the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Battle of Manitoba today. I think the final score was 8-4. So they are now like 17-1-0-0 or 18, and they've won 13 games in a row. I think it's 18, actually. So they're unbelievable.
So you're saying they're pretty good, Dave.
Yeah, they're pretty good what they're doing right now in the CHL. But look, there's no question about it, guys, that it was funny because one of the things we talked about this morning on the morning show, which feels like a lifetime ago, is this idea that, you know, the Jets need to have a good start to the game. And the Jets didn't have a good start to the game. They actually didn't have at all. You know, Calgary, I think, was out shooting them 7-2. Obviously got the goal fairly, I think it's like 3:43 or something like that into the first period. And then it really
leave the game recap stuff
fine,
to me.
Fair enough. But the reality is it took till about the midpoint of that first period before the Jets kind of got going, you know, from their heels to their toes, as Rick Bonus likes to say, and you could kind of feel them start to get back into it. And they're getting contributions from the back end, and as he said, Josh Morrissey continues to contribute to this team. I mean, lights out right now, given his point is what he's doing from a points perspective, and obviously Neil Pionk, he's contributing as well. But look, it was a hard-fought game. Winnipeg was definitely in it. You knew that Calgary was going to give you their best effort. They've played, as Ezzy has talked about again on this morning show. What was the idea that Calgary's been, you know, these are all one goal losses. So while you're not happy to be mired in a losing streak, you know that it wasn't as if they were getting blown out every game and it's, you know, something stinks in Denmark. It's more just a function of this is a team that's had some, not again, we haven't been watching those games, but they've had some poor luck. So you have to think, okay, what are they going to do to kind of rectify it? And again, like I said earlier, this is one of those things that you knew that Calgary wanted to have a good effort in front of their home crowd because they couldn't afford to, you know, have to lose that. And they didn't, you know, like I said, came out strong, got the opening goal, and they really had the crowd energized on a Saturday night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Calgary liked how they started. They did come out with that. And look, this is still a good Calgary Flames team. This is, you know, maybe they're not as good as they were last year, but this is still a very good hockey team, even without Jonathan Huberdeau. And you just can't give up that many chances. You just can't give up that many opportunities and then not capitalize on your own opportunities. And I thought today's game might have been sort of one of those games where the Jets really missed a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers. Now, the Jets miss Nikolaj Ehlers more, you know, oftentimes because he's a fantastic hockey player and he's, you know, a top line player on their team and a guy that you know, puts you on the edge of your seat. But in tonight's game where the Jets just sort of looked like they were, maybe a step slow, half a step behind the Calgary Flames, and everything was disjointed and everything was a little bit of a struggle. A guy like Ehlers, who is a zone entry machine, particularly on the power play, where the power play had a lot of difficulty setting up, I think his presence in tonight's game really would have helped the Winnipeg Jets. Now, I'm sure you're all thinking, they're saying, no shit, Sherlock, Nikolaj Ehlers' presence would help the Jets in every game, and that's true. But, you know, tonight I thought they were sort of just missing that one other player who could have maybe stepped up, because they're the top flight players for the Jets. I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois was good, but other than that, I did not think that Connor or Scheifele if you want to include Wheeler in that, I didn't think that they were anything to write home about in tonight's contest.
No, you're bang on, Drew. I can't disagree with that, because this was a more of a low event game, and Nikolaj Ehlers is a high event player, right? Yeah. Like, you're right. I mean, he can dazzle you. He creates offense. And there just wasn't a ton of that from both sides, really, right? Like, I agree with you. Like, you know, the Jets had, like, that save by Markstrom on Scheifele was incredible, right? But Scheifele had a bad game. And I realize plus minus is a flawed statistic, so get your pitchforks down a little bit here. But Scheifele was -3. And he didn't have a great game, right? No, like, we had a comment there, David, I believe, was at the game in Calgary. So good to hear that. Good to see that people in Alberta are watching us here. And I agree with that. But again, we're not blaming Scheifele here. He has been, you know, arguably the Jets' best forward this season, right? So I agree Dubois was more noticeable. And, you know, we'll get into the Betway game recap and we'll talk about the goal and everything like that. But this just, you know, it was a decent game. But definitely in the third period, I mean, there just wasn't. And again, you know, no Chris Tanev, no, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, but, you know,
Tanev still played.
Oh, sorry. Tanev is back. He was out of the lineup. Sorry.
Yes, right. This was his first game back. He was responsible for the largely responsible for the Pionk goal. It was his giveaway, not to get too far ahead, but
no, Tanev, you're right.
But he improved as the game went on, particularly on the penalty kill. He did a great job getting in some lanes and shot blocking for the Flames.
Yeah, and even though this is a, like you said, you know, you can't take Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau, your two best players, out of the lineup, and even if you replace them with Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri, I mean, you're not as good. I'm sorry. Those two players are just a little bit a step ahead. Huberdeau, you know, equalizes it a little bit because he's obviously a guy who's extremely offensively talented. But yeah, I think that you missed Ehlers and you just didn't have a lot of offensive spark, right? Like I was telling Dave, like Axel Janssen-Fjällby was one of the players that stood out the most just because of his skating, his energy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's out there on the PK, like, he was one of the best Jets out there for me. And I would, you know, I like David Gustafson. David Gustafson's game, you know, you have to look at those subtle little things that he does. You know, there weren't any scoring chances that stood out for me specifically for Gustafson, but that line just, to me, those two guys are really solid. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this game, it's unfortunate because, you know, the 7-game point streak, the Jets were 6-0-1 going into this game in their last seven. It's unfortunate, but I think you're pretty happy with the way you played. I mean, you obviously wanted 2 points here, but you don't have time to dwell on it too much. You've got Seattle coming up in 24 hours, and you want to get back into the win column as soon as possible.
You're absolutely right. You don't have time to dwell on it too much because, again, you're right. Tomorrow, it'll be a very, very quick turnaround. A weird scheduling, as our buddy Mike McIntyre pointed out on Twitter earlier today. It's odd that, you know, you have 3 days off, then you got to go to back-to-back, and then you have another 3 days off. It's, mm-hmm. You know, why couldn't
Wasn't there also a concert, Drew, at Climate Pledge Arena tonight? Like,
somebody was saying Smashing Pumpkins is there or something. Which
shout out to Billy Corgan.
There you go.
Great musicians. Terrible live, though.
Really?
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins.
I can see that. You know what I heard that about Dave? Weezer. I always liked Weezer, and then I had tickets to Lollapalooza in Chicago, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. Shout out to Sean Moglov. I was supposed to go there. I think my car broke down or something.
I was going to say, why didn't you go?
I don't know. I did something.
That's probably because when Ezzy got over the border and they said, do you have anything to declare? He goes, do you have any weapons? He goes, just these guns.
No, that wasn't me. That was another one of our friends. But yeah, I don't know. But somebody told me Weezer was the headliner anyways. And somebody told me Weezer wasn't good live, Dave. So I'm just not surprised about Smashing Pumpkins, even though some of those albums like Siamese Dream.
Their music is amazing. It's just that.
What was the other one? Bullet with Butterfly Wings was the single. What was that album called? Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. How do
there you
go.
Mm-hmm. Wow, good nicely job, done. Ezzy.
Let me ask you this. Here's a trivia question. Do you know what Billy Corgan does now?
I think he owns a wrestling.
Good. Very good, Ezzy. Yeah. He owns a wrestling company. You're exactly right.
Well, I like what Tyler and LeBroker is saying right now. Instead of Smashing Pumpkins, smash the like button, folks.
Because
it's 12, it's 12, 10 after 12 in the morning.
Yeah. You started your Saturday morning.
If you started your Saturday morning with a legal curve, you're ending your Saturday morning, technically starting your Sunday morning, which is going to be a phenomenal day of sports in Winnipeg. And like I said, just smash that like button, folks. Let us feel that love. Let us feel the illegal curve love.
Exactly like Dave M said, feel the illegal curve love. It is a quick turnaround. The Jets and the Kraken tomorrow night, meaning post game, is at 9:45, 7 o'clock puck drop here in Winnipeg. So almost right after the Bomber game will probably end. The Jets game will quickly start, and the Bomber game starts right after the Moose game ends. So it's certainly a very busy Sunday on the Winnipeg sports scene. And we'll of course have it all wrapped up for you on the illegal curve post game show Sunday night, 9:45 p.m. Let's get into the Betway game recap. It's brought to you by, naturally, Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Calgary opens the scoring. It's at the 323 mark, Dave, not your 343 that you're trying to pull out there earlier. Come on, man. It's Elias Lindholm, his fifth of the season, assist to Adam Ruzicka and Rasmus Anderson, putting the Flames.
323 is the same backwards, by the way.
Yes. Do you know what that's called? A word anagram, that's both. It's an anagram. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, yes. The word on. That's both the same forwards and backwards.
So come on,
yes,
Drew. Come on, this is an amateur hour at the Apollo. Let's move on.
I'm not sure Ginsburg knew that one, though. I think he was a little stumped there for a second.
Palindrome, too. Isn't a palindrome something like that?
An anagram is a word, actually, you can make from another word, I think.
I think it might be palindrome.
It might be a palindrome.
Onomatopoeia.
It's really late at night, folks. The fact we even know what an anagram or a palindrome or know that we can pull out those words at this hour should tell you a little bit about what's happening right now. In any event, 323, Elias Lindholm, his fifth of the year, assist to Adam Ruzicka and Rasmus Anderson. It's a clever little tip. Connor Hellebuck, not the best goal he's ever given up, probably not the worst goal he's ever given up. To me here, again, this Scheifele's in decent position, just doesn't tie up the stick. Probably doesn't expect that it's going to end up in the back of the net, but just again, I know somebody told me to say it earlier, the attention to detail just a little lacking from the Jets' perspective on that one, as a
trademark by Drew Mandel right there. Yeah. I mean, look, at Elias Lindholm is a fantastic player. I think we all know that. And this was right off the faceoff. And Adam Ruzicka, by the way, it's been really impressive. He's a guy that Dave would know, a little bit of a late bloomer, 2017 draft. And he's a guy that's now actually was playing with Chris Tanev out. I forgot that he was on the ice. Obviously, I wasn't paying attention very well, guys. I was having a few libations at a friend's house, so blame that a little bit. But palindrome, education, and entertainment. I'm not sure what that means.
Saying we're the word palindrome and talking about palindrome.
Yeah, you educated him and you're entertaining him. Okay. Yeah. Come on, Izzy.
Corey, that's what we try to do. We try to entertain and educate. I don't know, how much educating I do, but I'm more of the entertainment variety, but I like it anyways. Yeah, I mean, look, it was a nice tip. Shifley maybe a little bit slow there, guys, but I mean, I don't think you can dissect this one too much. Like, this to me was kind of just a nifty pass, a nifty finish by Lindholm. And were the Jets a little bit, a step behind? Yes. But I think, on a lot of plays like this, quick plays off of set plays, if you will, or quick plays that develop off of a faceoff, I think you could say that about a lot of them. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't fault one person on the Jets, I don't think, on this goal. I think this was just a question of maybe being a little bit slow to react in your zone.
Yeah, yes, I'm not trying to lay the blame directly on Scheifele or anything. Just thanks, Essie. Jets tie it up about 11 minutes later, 11 minutes and 23 seconds later, 14:46 mark of the first period. Dave, Neil Pionk, his fourth of the year, assist to Josh Morrissey. All Josh Morrissey does is get points and primarily assists, but he
ends up.
This is a great pass from
on Morrissey.
Yeah, it's a great pass from Morrissey. It's a great pass from Chris Tanev to start the play, which is unfortunate because he plays for the Calgary Flames. But, Morrissey with a great pass to Pionk and then a fortuitous bounce, a fortuitous deflection off the defenseman's stick. And it beats Markstrom moving the wrong way because of the deflection, Dave.
Yeah, and as he just said, I mean, Josh Morrissey makes a great feint. And gets it feathers it over to Pionk for the game time goal. And it was at that point, right? Like I said, just a few minutes earlier, you could feel the Jets kind of get back into their game. You could they recognized, okay, Calgary's push has come. Now it's time to kind of push back. And so you felt that in the game, you kind of felt that turn and you felt the Jets start to kind of push back a little bit more. So, they got rewarded for starting to work hard in the contest. And, like you said, it wasn't anything fantastic, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things that the Jets needed more of, right? I think mm-hmm. they said on the broadcast, the Jets are now on. I mean, what was the number that they had? They had the least goals from the back end last season in the NHL. And interestingly, the number that Rick Bowness, I want to say in training camp, used was 44. You know, 44 goals from the back end. And that, I think on the broadcast, they said that's what the Jets are actually on pace for right now, is 44 goals. So, I mean,
it's also Morrissey's number.
Morrissey's number. That it's all numerology.
Well, oh, Drew,
I'll tell you what Josh Morrissey's number is going to be, 82 in 82, because right now that's what he's on pace for in terms of assists. Now, he may not maintain that, but I mean, considering his career high is 26 assists in 2019,
he's going to smash it.
He's going to smash that, I think, quite handily this year. So, no, I mean, look, it's one of those plays that you want to see the Jets get a bounce back, because they hadn't been playing. Like I said, they didn't have a great opening 10 minutes, but you could feel them start to get that pushback and assert themselves in the game. And you want to see that because, look, they have had, I'm not making excuses. I believe me, you have to be ready to go when you have the luxury. You can't say, well, we got the benefit of resting our guys, practicing, and then we were a little rusty. But it looked like they were a little bit, you know, not ready to go. And then finally woke up and they got back into the game courtesy of that goal by Neil Pionk.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing about that Morrissey pass, right? Like it's obviously, you know, first off, I forgot that it was Tanev that gave up that puck. I forgot he was actually back in the lineup, but
you did say you had some drinks. That's okay.
I had a few Alexander Keiths. But the to me, what's so impressive about what Morrissey does there, to me, it's just all awareness. Like, that's just a skilled, aware player. Lucic is not known as a defensive dynamo, but Lucic was coming at him hard there, right? And, like, it, you know, you could either look at it and say, well, that was Lucic, and, you know, that was just Morrissey taking advantage of a, you know, slower player or something like that. But, you know, to do that in that situation at the blue line, because if Morrissey, you know, if that puck gets intercepted, we all know what's happening. Lucic is going in on a breakaway. So that's what I thought was that so impressive. It's just how poised he was in that situation, right? And he makes that, even though it looked like a relatively easy pass to make, it's only easy because he's such a skilled player who's so aware and so confident in his skill set. And so I just thought that was just, again, another example of how good of a season Morrissey's having so far.
He certainly is for the Winnipeg Jets, and it was his pass to Pionk that tied it up at one. The Flames retake the lead before the end of the second period. Adam Ruzicka, his first of the year, assisted Lindholm and Rasmus Anderson. So the same trio that burnt the Jets, pardon the pun, on the first Flames goal, burnt the Jets again on the second Flames goal. And it's an odd man rush. You know, we talked about that really at the outset of this post-game show. You know, Morrissey gets beat. Shifley gets beat, mm-hmm. and then they come in, and then you know, Lindholm beats Shifley, you know, and then they come in 2-on-1 on Dylan DeMello, and it's a beautiful pass by Lindholm, feathering it through, and Ruzicka makes no mistake. Again, you know, I'm not laying the blame or saying that this is all Shifley's fault or anything, but you just have to be a little bit harder in that situation. I know Elias Lindholm is a fantastic player, but you just can't. You know, you're in a 2-on-2 situation right there. You just can't get beat clean in the neutral zone to lead to that 2-on-1, in my estimation, Dave.
No, I mean, and we saw, look, there were a number, and you're right, Drew, that was one of the takeaways, was the number of Flames odd man rushes that they created for themselves, or maybe I should say the Jets created for them in some instances, where guys didn't necessarily back up, you know, the forward didn't back up if the defenseman was pinching. But I mean, yeah, that was an unfortunate situation for the Winnipeg Jets that ends up in the back of their net. And you know, the problem for them is, of course, that they're feeling good about the game, right? Like, at that point, they were very much in it, of course. And mm-hmm. so, you're feeling good about getting back into the game. And then 3 minutes after you've tied it, you know, the Flames take that lead, and it's late and relatively late. I mean, what is it? 3 minutes to go in the first period.
Yeah.
So, again, I wouldn't describe it as a backbreaker because it wasn't, but it was one of those, you know, it was a momentum killer for Winnipeg, because you were feeling good they were feeling good, I should say, about their game, about the way things were going. And then suddenly you're not. Suddenly now you're chasing the game again. And so, you know, and again, one thing we've highlighted is that you have to give credit to Calgary, right? Calgary was a team that came in, you know, winless in 7 games, right? I mean, everything is that's going wrong. You don't have Huberto in the lineup. You've got, you know, you're like we talked about, you just got Tanev back. Markstrom's playing questionable, although we didn't mention that street hockey double pad sack that he made on Mark Scheifele, which was spectacular in the first period. But it's not unexpected. And that's what we talked about. You knew that Calgary was going to be desperate to get something out of this game. And so, you know, they played the kind of the game that you expected them to play. And they took advantage of miscues by Winnipeg. And that was an instance of a miscue by Winnipeg that results in that play ending up in the back of your net.
Scheifele's got to be more aggressive there. He just has to be, like, in the neutral zone there on Lindholm. I agree with Drew. Like, Lindholm is a fantastic offensive player. He's a good defensive player as well. But on this one, to me, like, as opposed to the first goal, I you could definitely single out Scheifele on this one.
Yeah, he's just got to be tougher there. He just can't get beat. I mean, you're in a fine position as long as you don't get beat clean, you know, right there in that instance. And you just have to have a little bit more awareness of what's going on. There's no real need necessarily to even be pressing up that tight against Lindholm right there, allowing him to sort of roll off your body. You know, it looks harmless and then it becomes dangerous. You know, and full marks to Lindholm for having the skill set necessary to make that play. But this is sort of probably an instance where having a forward back there as opposed to another defenseman ends up hurting the Jets. You know, and I'm up, you know, Dylan Sandberg is the other Jets defenseman on the ice in this instance. Actually, it's not. Must have been a line change or something. I apologize. It was Brendan Dillon was out on the ice there in that instance. And, you know, Dillon's got to be, you know, I'm not sure. I assume Dillon was pinching and Scheifele was covering
deep
for him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Jets were too deep. I know Connor was very deep on that play. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they had the full line out there, if Appleton was out there as well. But, I mean, the Jets were too deep. They got burned by the stretch pass. And it was that play was dependent on Scheifele cutting that off there. And, again, we're not taking anything away from Scheifele as a player. We're just talking about this one play. I mean, he's the last line of defense in that sense, right? Obviously, Hellebuck is the last line of defense, but you guys know what I mean. He's
DeMello's the last line of defense
from that becoming a 2-on-1 odd-man rush. That's what I meant.
Yes, exactly right. And DeMello, you know, and then Lindholm makes a great pass, you know, to Rizicka that makes it 2-1 for Calgary after 20 minutes. You know, as Dave touched on it, not a great 20 minutes for the Jets. They started slow. They got a little bit better. And then Calgary gets the goal to make it 2-1 after the initial 20. The Jets tie it up early in the second period, though. And this one was a beauty. This is a five-man unit. And you referenced it in a tweet, Dave, about, you know, Craig Button last week on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show saying, you know, sometimes the fourth and fifth assists don't show up on the score sheet, but they're just as important. And this was absolutely one of those instances. It's Dubois. It's at the 4:23 mark of the second period. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his seventh assist to Morrissey and Pionk. And, you know, it starts with Morrissey in the neutral zone. It involves Mason Appleton as well, but just one of the absolute nicest passing plays you're going to see the results in a goal here by Pierre-Luc Dubois, Dave.
Yeah, and he's feeling good about his game, right? You've got four goals in four straight games for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and there were some flashes from number 80, I thought, and you could see how he was engaged in the game, right? I mean, the situation with Markstrom, when he got bumped into him and the trip. I mean, it's funny because originally I didn't think it was Markstrom. I thought he just got bumped in by, was it Rasmus Anderson or something like that, I think, who knocked Dubois into him. But then when I watched the replay, I was like, oh no, Markstrom kind of accidentally on purpose got his leg out there. But the key is the Mason Appleton driving the play into the zone, right? And creating that time and space in order to feed the puck back to Neil Pionk, who, you know, of course finds Josh Morrissey, who's, you know, playing like a forward up by the goal line, for God's sakes. And he finds Pierre-Luc Dubois, and that's a pretty easy goal for Pierre-Luc Dubois. So, that's one of those things that you started to see a little bit more again from Appleton using his size. Cause look, Calgary, everybody's been referencing it in the chat. Calgary's a big physical team and they're going to try and wear you down. And that's what, like, we saw it with the David Gustafson hit by Lucic behind the net. We saw Lucic try and hit Adam Lowry and get absolutely demolished by number 17, but that's the kind of game. Cole Perfetti, I mean, he got bounced a couple of times as well. And you know, he's lucky, especially, I think it was either in the first or the second where he got that hit, where he got clipped a little bit on the knee and, he moved out of the way just at the last second. So just kind of grazed him as opposed to went full knee on knee. But There are a couple.
There was one There was one sequence. Just wanted to mention this before I forget.
Yeah.
One sequence in the second period where I forget who the Calgary Flames player was, but just took him, you know, outside and fed Wheeler with a really nice pass. I don't even think Wheeler got a shot off there. And then Perfetti got the puck back and was working it in the offensive zone. Just wanted to mention that. That was, to me, you know, probably the best shift that we saw from that line, because kind of goes for, you know, all the Jets forward lines, right? Like you saw flashes of brilliance, but you didn't see – it definitely was not like you saw against Dallas the other night or Montreal or Chicago on the homestand. Just wanted to get that in there. But I think you made a good point about Appleton. It's almost like, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, that's a Pierre-Luc Dubois type of thing, right? Like hanging onto the puck, using your big body, everything like that, right? Even though he doesn't get credit for assists. So I think sometimes you have to give players credit for, look at Appleton, you know, has played really well through the first 11 or 12 games of the season. And so, you know, I agree with you. I think that was a Dubois-esque, you know, type of controlling the puck from Appleton. And yeah, just a nice tic-tac-toe play.
Well, and again, like I said, I just thought it was funny because we just had Craig on, right? And Craig was talking about this on our show about how there's sometimes there's great fourth and fifth assists that don't get credited. And that's an instance where, to me, you know, there's no credit for Mason Appleton, and yet he does something that without it, there's no goal. So that's an instance where, and it's funny, it's something I often will recognize in when I'm watching Moose games, is there's so many little things that happen that, you know, I tend to notice it and record it and tweet it just so I can keep a record of it for myself. But it's a lot of things that might go unnoticed throughout the course of the game.
Do you have a Moose journal?
I do have a Moose journal. Yes, I do. It's called illegalcurve.com, as you know. I update it every game day, actually. There's always a game recap. So that is my journal, if you will, about my Moose thoughts.
Dear journal, a girl talked to me today.
She said to me, "Sir, what would you like to order?"
That's usually about as good as it gets.
Two fat boys and fries.
We talk about missed opportunities in this game, and there are certainly a lot for the Jets, and you can't speak about missed opportunities without touching on the 5-on-3 that the Jets had late in the second period. It's one thing to not
score. That went well.
Yeah, it's one thing to not score on a 5-on-3. It's another thing to give up a shorthanded goal. You know, the shorthanded goal wasn't at 5-on-3, it was at 5-on-4. And it turns out to be the game-winning goal. Trevor Lewis, former Winnipeg
Jets. Can't lose.
You know, like Parker Lewis can't lose. Is that what you're saying? Trevor Lewis can't lose.
And for whatever reason, I always wrote it as Trevor Lewish. I don't know why. Whenever I would tweet it, I'd be like Trevor Lewish.
And I'd always Parker Lewis can't lose on CKND. I remember being on Channel 12 like late.
It's
a
great
night.
Show. Parker Lewis can't lose. Trevor Lewis can't lose.
Well, he certainly can't lose for the Calgary Flames tonight. He gets the shorthanded goal. It's the game winner at the 18:31 mark of the third period. His third goal of the season, assist to Backlund and Noah Hanifin. And again, I think it's just a little bit of a brain fart by Kyle Connor in this instance.
Yeah, for sure.
He takes the shot and the shot gets blocked, and then he doesn't really demonstrate what I would describe as any urgency to you know, find the puck, or by the time
he didn't recognize what Lindholm was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that you got to give Lindholm credit on what he did. The way he flipped the puck. Wasn't it Lindholm?
The goal was Lewis from Backlund and Hanifin.
Oh, I thought it was
Backlund
it was Backlund. Yeah. But you got to give Backlund credit.
I thought it was Lindholm as well, but
Backlund. You got to give Backlund credit, because what did he do? He took the puck. He flipped it. And again, Kyle Connor looked at anything. Kyle Connor thought that puck was going to Hellebuck. Mm-hmm. So Kyle Connor's like, well, there's no urgency because that puck isn't going to go to Connor Hellebuck. But instead, it goes to Backlund, who, you know, and Backlund, as in I watched the replay, Backlund and Connor are basically side by side. And
it was
Backlund.
Sorcery. It was, I agree with Dave. Connor, I think, like, he didn't necessarily know the puck was going deep into the Jet zone, but I think he thought it was going much further back. And that's why it was that, like Drew said, this game was kind of like everything was just all the goals, you would say, just a half second. Like, it was just like the Jets just weren't as quick as they needed to be, and the Flames capitalized. But you're right, Dave. Like, I think that flip threw, I think it threw everybody off, to be honest with you. I think it even threw Backlund off. Like, it wasn't, I don't think he was necessarily trying to do that, like it's just impossible to calculate that type of flip.
Well, and Ezzy, it's also a weird thing to do, right? When you're trying to kill a penalty, you generally wouldn't want to put the puck into the neutral zone.
No.
You'd want to like get it obviously as deep as possible.
Backlund's a great defensive forward, right? So like he knows what he needs to do in that situation, but you're right. I mean, that just Connor wasn't quick enough to react, and Backlund goes up. It's a 2-on-1, beautiful pass to Lewis. We all saw the move. Lewis goes forehand, backhand, just really nice move by Hellebuck.
Yeah, and that makes it 3-2 for the Flames. The Jets have their opportunities though, so you can't touch on this game recap without mentioning the missed opportunities. So they score on the shorthanded goal. Seconds later, 30 seconds later, Jacob Markstrom takes that tripping penalty, and it's a 5-on-3 for the Jets. And now Markstrom, I'm not really sure what he's doing here. I don't mind it. I sort of like when it's when goalies play with a little bit of an edge. You come anywhere near my crease, you're going to get a two-hand, sort of old school Ron Hextall style. Or
not Drew. Yeah. Not when you're mired in a 7-game losing streak. I agree with Dave. And down and you're up by a goal. No.
Not the time and the place. Maybe if you're up 5-1, you do that, and you're
fair enough
playing well. Yeah,
that's right. I can live with that one. Fair enough. I can live with both your comments there. In any event, he Markstrom takes the penalty, and the Jets power play it looked inept. I mean, to not get a shot when you're 5-on-3.
Power play was looking really good on the homestand. That's what's confusing about it. And I agree with Drew here. Like, zone entries, just setting up, like getting some sustained pressure. Like the power play, it almost looked like a preseason power play. It was really, really bizarre.
Yeah. And then the third period, the Jets do basically all of nothing. Four shots on goal. The Flames were more physical. The Flames were faster. The Jets just absolutely couldn't generate anything, in that third period. It just looked like Calgary could taste that getting rid of that losing streak. And they were going to do everything in their power to prevent that losing streak from continuing. And the Jets just didn't have that extra gear. They just didn't have that the wherewithal to really handle Calgary. I thought Calgary's forecheck was tremendous. I mean, we saw Cole Perfetti take that retaliatory penalty early in the third period after he took another big hit. There was just, Calgary, I thought, was just more physical and was tougher on the puck and more defensively sound than the Jets were offensively dangerous in that third period. And you chalk it all up, you chalk up the 60 minutes of play, and the Calgary Flames are victorious tonight by that 3-2 margin, ending their losing streak and ending the Jets' point streak at 6-0-1, and keeping the Jets tied in a tie with both Colorado and Dallas atop the Central Division, getting a little crowded there as the Avs actually will take over top spot. Even though they played the same number of games as the Jets, the Stars have played a game more. The Avalanche get the top spot by virtue of having the better goal differential, plus 14.
And the Stanley Cup.
And the Stanley Cup, that too. They also get the Stanley Cup bonus.
That puts them at the top.
Puts them at the top of the Central Division. Jets next in action, of course, tomorrow night. And getting the Seattle Kraken postgame show, 9:45 p.m.
At when Lemon we come Pledge back, Arena.
Yes.
Sorry, Climate enough. Pledge. Sorry.
Climate Pledge. Lemon Pledge, Climate Pledge. It's all the same thing. Although I don't know that Lemon Pledge was ever environmentally friendly. That's a separate issue.
Ron Chan makes a good point. It's going to be the Dave Lowry Revenge Tour tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. Dave Lowry will be—he's behind the bench for the Kraken, so obviously he will be looking to get revenge against the former team that he coached last year, in an interim basis at the very least, the Winnipeg Jets. So it'll be nice.
Also, be the Mason Appleton revenge game.
The revenge games will be off.
And Brandon Tanev.
What's he got revenge for?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. In any event, tomorrow night is the post game show, 9:45 for that. When we come back, we'll do the unique code word of the day. We'll give away they'll announce a contest winner, Tough Duck winner. Don't go anywhere. It's 12:33 in the morning on Sunday morning. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live, Illegal Curve post-game show, brought to you by Betway. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsburg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code IllegalCurve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's GRYD Park. And use the code IllegalCurve. All one word. You'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
We're back on the Illegal Curve postgame show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsburg with you Sunday morning. Now, how about this for a day? Saturday morning, then it started at Saturday night, and it goes again until Sunday morning, and it'll go again Sunday night. A very busy weekend for us good folks at Illegal Curve. A big thanks to all of you for joining us as we recap tonight's Jets and Flames game. The Flames victorious 3-2, as we touched on. Jets, no time to lick their wounds, no time to feel sorry for themselves. They're probably already back, already on the plane heading to Seattle to face the Kraken tomorrow night. A Kraken team that obviously is eager to face the Jets. I don't think they're listening
to Jimi Hendrix, Drew.
I don't know what they're doing, Ezzy. I'm really not familiar with their day before game activities, but whatever they're doing, I'm sure that they're happy to see a Winnipeg Jets team that played tonight while they've been sitting in Seattle waiting for them to come into town. They lost to the Minnesota Wild on Friday night, the Kraken did, by a 1-0 margin. So obviously both teams looking to get back in the win column tomorrow evening at, as he said so cleverly, Lemon Pledge Arena. Dave, do you have a contest winner for us, my good friend?
I do. I do indeed.
Okay. Can you please do that? This is, of course, is...
Do they have a name?
This is, of course...
They do. They do indeed.
of course, the Illegal Curve merchandise contest. We do this on each and every post game show. Sometimes we give away jerseys, sometimes we give away t-shirts, sometimes we give away toques. You never quite know what we're going to give away.
Sometimes we give away palindromes.
Sometimes we give away free palindromes and free conversations regarding palindromes. That's absolutely the things that we sometimes do here on this fine program. If you don't know how to enter the Illegal Curve contest, go to the show description. Hit the drop-down arrow. You'll see the show description.
Click a Mastodon account.
Don't need a Mastodon account, not yet at least. Click the link. You'll see it in the show description. If you can't find it there, it's all over our website, illegalcurve.com. It's also all over our Twitter feed, at Illegal Curve. So we're just really, do 1 second or so of effort and you'll be able to find that magic link that'll allow you to enter the Illegal Curve contest and potentially win some great swag that you can wear and sport and say, hey, those great guys at Legal Curve were able to hook me up with that. Who is the winner of the merchandise contest tonight, Dave M?
His name is right there.
Les Thompson. Les, congratulations. You are the winner of the Legal Curve merchandise contest for tonight's Jets and Flames game. Of course, more contest winners to come. So
we should have a requirement. Like, you have to get in touch with us within like 25 minutes. Like, we want you to be in the post game show in order to win. We're not going to do that yet.
Food for thought. Something we might have to institute.
Just want to make sure you start
having the winners like sending the winners of the link, like, and saying like we want you to join us.
Have them come on the show.
Well, it's another interesting idea that we might have to, we'll have to take this offline to our, the Illegal Curve Brain Trust, which is basically the three of us monkeys and, shooting berries up our noses while lying in a ditch half the time. But in any event,
I feel like Les might be sleeping, by the way, because even if Les was watching the Jets game, he probably went to bed period probably put him to sleep.
It's also almost 1 a.m. before 1.
But like a regular game, like if we were doing the post game show at 10:30.
Yeah.
Why don't we start having them on? It could be
fun. Well, then we should. That's a big congratulations to Les Thompson, the winner of tonight's merchandise contest. And of course, I know what all of you are been waiting for. It's the unique code word for the Illegal Curve contest. You enter in that unique code word, you get extra entries if you enter in that code word. The unique code for tonight, Red Mile, all one word, all caps, paying tribute, of course, to the Red Mile that took place in Calgary when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals all those years ago. Red Mile.
Also the sequel to the movie Green Mile.
And Dave.
All right, folks, this one is done. He's out. That was a good one, Ezzy. I liked it. Red Mile. Just a quick qualifier, Drew, though, just to make sure. I'm looking at this. I was doing this before we got going on the post game show, folks. And so the contest software was a little bit bizarre. So if you try entering it and it's not allowing you to enter, it may be because the Alamo password is still interfering. So I didn't see the option to update that. So see if you can enter it. Hopefully you'll be able to. If you won't, if you can't, then I will figure that out with the people who run that software and I'll fix that up. So you can always enter it tomorrow. Alan's already saying so. It's not active, so I'll have to. So remember that word because it'll stay active till at least tomorrow,
Might even be the code word for tomorrow's game.
Back to backs are a little funny, and although tomorrow we'd want to make it green because it's Seattle. So,
Dave, I was going to tell you, I got an email from our representative at Dominion Voting Systems, and they told me that the contest is actually good. Everything's going to be worked out. We're going to have the correct winner tomorrow.
Everybody's saying they can't enter it, which means, folks, that when the show ends and I do the post-game show with Ezzy, which usually takes anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, and before I can finally kick him out of the house, and then I come back here and I do the podcast, and then I'll finish the morning papers. But once I do all of that, I will be on this and I will try and figure out why secret code word isn't working. And I will try and get that updated so you can all enter it tomorrow and we'll have it active till at least tomorrow night's game. So I'll try and make sure it's working.
Convinced that Dave M is a bat.
Or you know what I'll do?
That's just the only thing that makes any sense. You're nocturnal.
Yeah, probably a little bit of that. But the other option is what I could do is if this doesn't work, then although I kind of want to reward the people who were stayed up with us late. So I was going to say I could just make tomorrow's word worth 20 instead of 10, But then everybody who didn't stay up late is going to get the benefit of tomorrow's word. So well, I'll try and figure it out. Don't worry.
We're going to defer to your judgment on this one because
I'll try and make it happen.
I know that I'm going to bed, and really whatever happens as soon as this show ends, it's you guys can figure out on your own. I don't really give a damn. I'll be perfectly fine.
12:45. Some of us have in 12 hours, some of us will be at the Moose game.
You are nocturnal. I don't know how you do it, but all the power. Actually, I do know how you do it. If you don't have kids, it's a lot easier to stay up late. So in that case, congratulations and all the power to you. Ezzy, Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment for tonight. Who's getting the prize?
Yeah, there's a lot of good comments. I sent it to you in the private chat there. We're going to give it to loyal IC viewer and listener Phyllis, who's in Morden. Basically, that puck passing and stick lifting that happened last game to Dallas happened to the Jets tonight. Injuries, line changes, and dirty shots by Calgary did the rest. Phyllis is, as I mentioned, always brings the heat. Great commenter. I've never met Phyllis, but I'm sure she's an awesome human being as well. So Phyllis, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can send me a DM on Twitter while we're still on Twitter, because I think there's some people that want us to join Mastodon and TikTok and kind of give it to Elon and all of his hijinks. So you can slide a DM to me on Twitter, but we're going to give it to Phyllis. Awesome comment. Always brings the good stuff on the IC postgame show.
Big congratulations to Phyllis for winning tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Big thanks to our friends at Tough Duck for sponsoring that fun comment night in and night out. That's it for us. It's time for us to go to bed. We'll be back tomorrow night at 9:45. With the Jets and the Seattle Crack in the post game show. Of course, illegalcurve.com is up to date. Dave M has all the latest Winnipeg
post game show recap is already up there, including post game, including the interviews. So just go ahead, as Drew would say, and check it out.
Yes, be sure to check out the website, illegalcurve.com. If any of you are going to the Bomber game tomorrow, I'll be there. If you see me, come say hi. I'm really nice. And in reality, I'm actually a
nice
person.
Bring your eggs.
Yeah, no, I'm a nice person, and I'll be always glad to meet any fans of Illegal Curve, even if you're a fan of Dave and Ezzy's and not so much mine. You can just humor me or just talk about Dave and Ezzy and how great they are. You don't have to talk about, you don't even have to mention me, frankly. Just if you see me at the Bomber game, there you go. Come say hello.
Any hate mail since this morning, by the way?
No, not since this morning. Actually,
really, that email I sent you didn't go through, apparently.
No, I think Laura may have sent me some hate mail, but that's a separate issue entirely.
That's called two shows in one day.
That's great. That's called love in some families.
Laura brings her toque to the game.
She will have her toque at the game. It will not be a beanie and it will not be a toboggan. It'll be a toque. We've Canadianized her enough that she knows that it's called a toque. A big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zapia Group, Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Big thanks to all of you for joining us late night. Illegal Curve After Dark, you know how it gets when the show goes into the wee hours, it gets a little off the rails. We'll be back at it tomorrow night, 9:45 p.m. We'll try to keep it on the straight and narrow, but no promises whatsoever. Go Bombers. I agree with that. Everybody that was saying that, go Bombers. We don't have to be impartial when it comes to our Bomber fandom. We are impartial when it comes, of course, to our Jets analysis. For Dave Manouk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Do all those things that you know that you need to do to support us here at Illegal Curve. Until tomorrow night at 9:45 p.m., actually tonight at 9:45 p.m., we say goodnight and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.